The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our expert piece. On a Monday, we're talking to sleep specialist and author Lucy Wolfe. Lucy, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Lucy joining us from the Cork studio. Lucy, we thought we'd concentrate on kids who've been reveling right throughout the summer and going to bed late. Suddenly they're told, time for bed, you're at school in the morning. How do you get them to adjust?
I think there's a couple of aspects to that. So firstly, you know, to get enough sleep now as we go into the academic year is going to be really important for all of our children. And so in their understanding of its importance, I think that helps to help them to make the transitions, you know, from, you know, maybe not being on a schedule, sleeping in late and going to bed late. I think the most important thing within that is that if your current schedule and the forward schedule is very, very far apart at the moment, it might be worth slowly introducing an early awake time over the course of the next few days or however many days that you have, you know, bringing forward the wake time by 20 or 30 minutes each day, because we need to then have the corresponding earlier bedtime. But unless we have the early wake time, it doesn't help, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so you start doing it with a few days to go before the back to school. Start doing now. 20 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
Every day you bring it forward by 20 minutes.
Bring it forward by 20 minutes or so, and then begin to use all of the principles that we know underpin sleep. So get up, get out of the bedroom, expose to bright and natural light, get movement happening so that you are regulating your body clock. And in that regulation, you're creating enough time and space in advance of bedtime. And then we turn our attention to bedtime itself.
Now, it happens to all ages. I mean, if you're dealing with toddlers, it may be easier than dealing with people who are coming towards the end of primary school, and certainly those at second level. This question, my teenager hasn't seen breakfast until at least 1 p.m. all summer. He stays awake so late, he'd be like a bag of cats now once we go back to the routine. But even when he agrees to go to bed early, he won't. He has to hand his phone up at 9 p.m. each evening. What can I do?
Well, I mean, you're on the right track because, you know, the adolescents are the cohort that are going to find this more difficult than any of us, you know, because they will be like this guy, having had an amazing summer, you know, left to his own devices. And I think that's an important part of the teenage years. However, like I said, if we can, it's no point just focusing on the bedtime, because even if he wanted to go to sleep earlier, he just won't be able to. And, you know, you've got a big gap between 1 p.m. and what it's going to end up being. Sometime between probably 6 and 7:30 a.m. depending on your commute. So now helping him, but also, like, I believe that we need to look at sleep as a series of transitions. And when we take things away, like the screens and the gadgets, which we know impact our ability to get to sleep with relative ease, but as parents, we may need to help make replacements and think of the long transition towards sleep time being enabled between you. So it is a collaboration between you and your adolescent so that they are invested also in helping them get to sleep with relative ease, making that transition. Maybe that means replacing screen time temporarily with, you know, family time, and, you know, invoking those principles that help. Like, it might be worth having a shower. It might be worth encouraging them to listen to some relaxing music, or, you know, do some gentle stretching exercises so that you're really helping to prepare the body for sleep. And then maybe that's an hour before projected sleep time, and then let them have another half hour where they do some other activities, maybe on their own, like reading or, again, listening to something relaxing. And again, it's just about helping to provide the context for our young person as well.
My husband and I do a lot of shift work, which changes week to week. I'm worried that inconsistent bedtimes is causing problems for our four-year-old, who's now refusing to go to sleep when put to bed.
And it is difficult, certainly for the adult who's doing shift work. Their own biological rhythm is being challenged. And we know, obviously, that sleep is governed hugely by the circadian rhythm, and no more so with our young children. And, you know, at age four, they've gone through an awful lot of transitions already from their sleep point of view, as in they've gone from being probably napping to now capturing their whole sleep need within the overnight. And often what that means is that bedtime has to come earlier and earlier earlier to accommodate the fact that they no longer nap and their sleep is in just one phase. It might surprise some parents that often in this age group, when the nap has gone, the bedtime is actually really quite early. So probably sometime between 7 and 8. And when I talk about those type of numbers, we're talking about aiming to be asleep, not just starting the preparation for sleep. So in this instance, to try and instill regularity, again, back to that regular wake time, I can't stress that enough. And I know that's a little bit annoying, but you know, the early wake time, replicating then throughout the course of the day, eating at the same sort of times, drinking at the same sort of times, and exposure to bright light during the waking hours, and then helping to encourage the darker evening style to help program the body and send the right messages to the brain.
One of the problems, of course, is that if two parents are working and there's a commute involved, and you say the kid should be in bed by 7, they mightn't see the child at all.
And it's so difficult. And for sometimes, you know, when I'm talking about the introduction of an early bedtime, often it's in an effort to address a sleep challenge. And it doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be a forever, engagement, but often to help the bedtime to emerge and to put in place some positive sleep practices that help that particular child go to sleep with ease and not resist sleep, then it might be worth doing that for a couple of weeks. And then when the sleep is more established and the child themselves is better at going to sleep and in some instances staying asleep, I then believe flexibility is absolutely possible. And the range of that flexibility will completely depend on the individual child and their temperament and the parent knowing their own child best too.
My 2-year-old son keeps stripping in his bed and taking his clothes off in the middle of the night. What can I do to stop it?
I know. And I suppose, look, at age 2, our young children are exploring, you know, their sense of self and this newfound independence of being able to do things that they were never really able to do. And they're just exploring that in general. I guess I'm always going to look at the environment. So just making sure, like, is there a reason for stripping? You know, is he too warm? And I'm sure the parents will have been thinking about this already. It may be worth then making sure that he's really, you know, encouraged to dress himself during the waking hours so that he's got those skills and is exhausting them throughout the course of the, you know, his day so that he's not as inclined to maybe doing overnight. I wonder if the stripping is sometimes, you know, the call for the parent, for attention to do something with and for him. So I'd always be really curious about, you know, what are the practices in place when he's going to sleep? What does he need to get to sleep? And does that change when he's gone to sleep? So we'd look at that behaviour and think of what else could it be indicative of for that particular young child. And then look at, you know, the timing for sleep, you know, how active he is during the day, and then channeling his newfound sense of independence, even as a big part of the bedtime routine. So loads of choice, loads of input from him. So again, we have that really good creation, co-creation between us. And then it might be worth exploring putting on pajamas he finds difficult to take off.
A number of comments from listeners about children waking up early. My 3-year-old wakes up at 5 a.m, wants to start the day, even though they haven't had enough sleep. Another one, our children are up at the crack of the dawn, no matter what time they go to bed.
I know, and like, that's so different, isn't it, to the adolescent cohort and the parents of them, because I think as parents of young children, the thought of our children staying in bed till 1 p.m. feels so foreign, but it does often come full circle. Early rising has a couple of indicators. Again, I'd go back to the environment first of all, ensuring that, you know, it's dark enough, there's no light whatsoever coming into the bedroom space, because even the slither of light will stimulate the waking part of the brain. And then I would look at, you know, general things like, you know, are they warm enough? Are they too hot, too cold? Is there any other disturbance within the household? And if I rule out all of those things, then I'll turn my attention to what are the indicators from a sleep point of view. Here's a couple. Being overtired going to bed actually initiates early rising. So it can be one of the biggest undermining influences. So again, that's about trying to understand what time does that particular child need to go to bed before they're overtired. So looking for those, you know, early cues rather than late cues. You know, if I ask what is the mood and behaviour in the evening time, and if you say, oh, look, they're really difficult, I would say they're probably overtired and unfortunately might need a slightly earlier bedtime. Another undermining influence for the early waking actually is drinks too close to sleep time at bedtime. So the drink creating a sucking association that may never be replicated again throughout the rest of the night, but actually means that they go to sleep with relative EVs, but find it really difficult to get through their last and most difficult sleep phase, which is around 5 a.m.
My child wakes up at 11 o'clock every night crying. No reason, nothing wrong with him. Then goes back to sleep after a few minutes. Any advice? Two-year-old.
Children wake up in the overnight period, as do adults. And, you know, we transition through our sleep phases. Some do it without making any noise and some will make a lot of noise. If your child is waking up, yelping out, giving a cry, returns to sleep themselves, I don't think that's problematic. We see it as being potentially problematic when this is ongoing and the parent then needs to come and do something to help them get back over to sleep. And then in that instance, we begin to look at the whole picture, you know, what that particular child might associate with going to sleep and in turn going back to sleep. And often that is an association oriented issue, and it very often is bound by time as well. So we tend to try and pull all of those items together and put in place my stay and support approach so that as they make the transition to maybe more independent sleep or sleep that is not, you know, without as much parent intervention, that helps that child begin to feel safe and secure in the overall context of their sleep.
Lucy, thank you very much for joining us. Lucy Wolf, author of The Baby Sleep Solution and a specialist in sorting out sleeping problems. Lucy, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we have time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.